We were all younger when it came to our favorite television shows. Now, some of the younger people in the congregation may not know this or remember this, but there was actually a day and an age when you planned what you were going to watch. Why? Because you actually had to be there in front of the television when it was on. If you missed it, you missed it. You got together. You got the family together. Well, we used to love to watch the Wonderful World, the Color World of Disney. You know, we used to love to watch that together. Or annually, my family, multi-generations, would get together and watch Rudolph every year. But you didn't get to watch it just whenever you wanted. You actually had to be there. You had to get the popcorn. You had to be there early. And you had to do this. What is that? Turning the channel, right? Doing the rabbit ears, putting the aluminum foil, holding your foot out this way, slapping the side of the TV to get a better picture. But you had to be there right in front. Now, we have raised a generation. Is there anybody here that does not have a microwave? Okay. Everybody here's got microwaves. When I was a kid, we didn't have microwaves. And sometimes you're heating things up and you go, come on, I don't have all second. Really? I mean, our mothers and our grandmothers, and they would slave hours in front of the stove. And now we just have microwaves that make everything faster. And now we have something called remote controls. We used to call them clickers. Anybody called them a clicker? They haven't clicked in a long time. My dad called them the plunker. Where's the plunker? You know, where's that thing that we get? But we have something now with cable TV. We have the opportunity to watch whatever we want when we want it. My wife and I and our daughter, we went to shopping this week, and we stopped at a Red Robin. Ready? Yum, right? Come on, you know that one, right? We stopped at Red Robin, and a young girl came over to take our order, and she said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and can I get your drink order? And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What? I seem to do that a lot more these days. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What was it? And she said, my name's Jerry, like Jerry Seinfeld. This girl couldn't have been 20 years old. I said, honey, you have no idea who Jerry Seinfeld is. And she said, yes, I do. I watch him every day. And I forgot. We live in the on-demand world and the on-demand stage where you can get whatever show you want whenever you want it. And we're used to that, and we like that. Now, what does that have to do with our message today? Okay? As we're going into this series, we're going to help to expand your thinking and your understanding about God. Because what we want to do is to have the heavenly clicker, the heavenly plunker, the remote control that we're able to push a button and get God to do what we want God to do when we want God to do it. We want instantaneous results. And sometimes when it doesn't happen the way that we want him to, many of you probably have been there before. You've asked God for something, and you prayed for something, and it didn't work out the way that you wanted him to, and you got angry, if not physically, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you shook your fist at God and say, how dare you? Where are you, God? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you save my house, my job, my children, my health? All these things that we pour out to you and say, God, fix it, and fix it now. Do what I want you to do. Sometimes we have the idea that God exists to serve us. And today we're inviting you to think bigger, because God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. He is a high and a holy God. And sometimes I believe that God allows us to go through the dark times in our lives where we have nothing else but God. But listen to this. Until God is all you have, you'll never understand that God is all you really need. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, let's turn to our scripture this morning. It comes from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote about 800 years before Christ. And many people have been converted to Christianity by looking at Isaiah and then looking at the New Testament and saying, boy, Jesus just kind of lines up with all the prophecies, and many of them were the ones that Isaiah had shared with us. But our passage today is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. And it's God speaking through Isaiah to the people of Israel. Isaiah writes, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so let's take a look at our outline today and just some of the lessons that we can learn by looking at what God is saying. And one thing that we can get from this, we can glean from this, is a bigger picture, our understanding of God. And number one is God's heart is always loving. Sometimes I think Satan gets into our hearts and he gets into our minds and he gets into this rationale of my God is a good God and he's a holy God and he cares about me and loves me and he's all powerful. So therefore, whatever I ask him to do, he should do for me. And then when it doesn't happen, we get angry, we get frustrated with God. And sometimes I believe we give in to the lie with Satan and says, well, either he's not good or he doesn't love you or he's not even real at all. How many people have turned away from God because they have this thought, this feeling that works into their minds? And I pray that as we're inviting you to think bigger, to think beyond our own personal need and say, there's an entire universe out there. Sometimes I love to go to places like, I've never been there, but I want to go, but the Grand Canyon. How awesome and immense and how small we feel. To stand by the ocean, to watch a sunset and say, wow, there's a whole lot more going on in the world and in the universe than just what's happening to me right now. We're being invited into a bigger picture of understanding God. And as we come into this, then we need to listen to not what Satan tells us, but we need to listen to what God tells us through his own word. I love what it says in Romans 8. It says, nothing could ever separate us from the love of God. Not financial hardships, nor relationships, nor health concerns. Nothing could ever separate us from the love of God. Sometimes we get angry when God doesn't do what we want him to do. How many of you are parents? How many of you love your children? How many of you like them all the time? Yeah. We've all been there. And yet, which one of us wouldn't sacrifice everything we have, including our own lives, for the benefit and for the welfare of our children? And yet sometimes we have to admit there have been times in our children's lives where they have wanted something from us, they asked something from us, and they could have started off with, do you love me? Yes. Do you have the power to do what I want you to do? Yes. Are you going to do it? No. Right? Because sometimes we have to admit, even though we love our children, what they are asking for is actually not good for them. And they say, I hate you. And you say, I know. You don't understand. But I know things that you don't know. And I want you to know that I love you very much. And one day, most likely when you have children, then you will understand. And so we've both been on both sides of that, as our parents have told us no sometimes, and they no, you can't have that car. No, you can't go to that party. No, I don't want you drinking alcohol, smoking pot, doing drugs, whatever it is, whatever it is. And we were frustrated when they told us no. And yet now that we're parents, we're turning around to our very children and saying, no. Why? Because it's you don't need that. It's not good for you. We have to understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there's things that we don't get. There's things we don't know when we don't understand. But I love one pastor said this, that God isn't loving when he answers our prayers. He's loving when he sent his son. 1 John chapter 4 says, while we were yet sinners, God sent his son. That proves God's love for us. And so we need to think bigger. We need to think beyond just the myopic concerns of what's right here and now and what's in front of us and what's on our heart and what's on our mind and what's on our Instagram and what's on our right now and what we got to have and our immediacy and say, you know, okay, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't understand. But one thing I do know is God loves me and there must be a reason. And one day I'll be able to understand. But I do know my God loves me. Number two is God's ways are always higher than our ways. And we have to admit, pastors are quick to admit, we don't know everything. Sometimes people want to come to us and say, why did the earthquake hit that place? I don't know. Why was a child born with cancer? I don't know. Why did tornado miss the bar and hit the church? I don't know. There's a whole bigger scheme of things that are going on that we don't know or understand. Pastor Craig Groeschel admits that sometimes he hates to pray for people. You go to a hospital bed and a 98-year-old lady has got cancer and she's got broken bones and diabetes. And we always, as pastors, say, well, how can I pray for you? And sometimes at 98, you're expecting them to say, well, how about helping me make this transition? I know my time's coming to an end here. Help out praying for that. But then sometimes they say, just pray for healing. And you're like, seriously? Are you kidding me? Come on, you're 98. You got to go sometime. Let's talk about this other thing. But I had another pastor friend of mine said he went into a similar kind of thing with a 98-year-old woman, and she had all these issues and all these concerns, and he thought he was going to pray for her and Jesus to come meet her and the angels to take her up to heaven when it was time. And he said, and what may I pray for you? And she said, healing. And he's like, okay. And he prayed for healing. And immediately she got out of bed and started getting dressed. And he said, what are you doing? She said, you prayed for it. God healed me and I'm going home. Okay. God's ways are bigger than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If a lady prays for healing, I don't care how old she is. Guess what we're going to do? Pray for healing. Absolutely. For man, it's impossible. We think small. But God has a bigger picture of what's going on. And so we open it up to God and just say, God, here's where we are. I want to lift it up to you, and we bring this person before you in the power of prayer. We need to see that God has got, I started to sing last night, he's got the whole world in his hands, right? He's got the whole world. He's got everything. God is timeless. He was there before the beginning of time. And this is the kind of concept because we've never been outside of time. We've always been inside of time. And it just explodes our minds to think about this. But God is timeless. He sees everything out in front of him all at the same time. He says, I am the Alpha, which is the beginning. I am the Omega, which is the end. And he says, I'm everything in between too. I got you. I see this, and there's things that you don't know or see, but I want you to know that I've got your best interest at heart. I've got your back. I care about you. I love you. And there are things that you don't understand. But guess what? God is already in tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Number three is God's presence is always enough. sometimes people buy into this misconception about God. They're not actually angry with God because they don't know God. They don't really understand God. They only understand just a portion of him, and so they get angry with God. But what I would submit to you is what they're really angry with is their own perception or misconception about God. And when we begin to get to know him, when we spend time in worship, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in his word, and we get to know his heart, his nature, his character, then we begin to understand, and we can relax. Haven't you ever wondered why the Apostle Paul could be so relaxed when he was off to be beaten, when he was off to be in prison? And he said, I don't care. I'm going to preach Christ and him crucified until the day that I die. And you're like, what do you mean you don't care? Or even his disciples said, don't go to Jerusalem. They're looking to kill you there. And he says, I don't care. I only do what God tells me to do. He's telling me to go to Jerusalem. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to Jerusalem because he had a bigger picture in mind. It's not about now. It's not about this life. It never has been. This is really just a training ground. We're here for a few days and then we're gone. And then eternity with God. And so that leads us into number three. So the only thing that we really need is his presence. God's presence is always enough. And so as we talk about that, we begin to understand, and many of you know the stories about King David and when he was a boy and he slew Goliath and then he became king. And you say, well, it's easy for him to write Psalms when he's a king because everything's at his beck and command. And what you need to know and understand is as you read more and more about the scripture, you see this guy had a hard life from the time that he was young until the time that he died. Because even as he was serving his king, Saul, Saul became so jealous of David that he turned around and tried to kill him. And David said, why are you trying to kill me? All I do is lift you up and support you. I'm not after your crown. I'm here to support you because you are God's anointed. I will never harm a hair on your head. I've got your back. And yet Saul turned around because of his jealousy and tried to kill David. And then some of you maybe have had this kind of pain where someone really close to you has turned on you. Even David's own son turned on David and tried to kill him so that he could inherit the crown, so that he could be in power. And yet through all of these trials and tribulations and going to war, David wrote in the midst of all of this, the 23rd Psalm. We know it most frequently when we have a funeral or a celebration of life service. And we say the 23rd song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and we find comfort in that. And yet what you need to hear and understand is that was in the midst of Dave's living here on this earth. And what he was saying is I trust in you, God. All I ever need is your presence because I know you are the good God. I know that you are the shepherd, the one who leads us to greener pastures, the one who protects us from harm. And so much so, as we follow after you, my soul is filled up so much to overflowing. How would it be to have so much of the presence of God that you're just filled up from the inside out? Overflowing. I want to ask you this morning how you're doing. Because just about every one of us has either been through something really difficult, we're in something difficult, or we're heading into something very difficult. Sometimes, at least metaphorically, we've aimed our plunkers at God and said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Fix my house, my health, my car, my children, my finances, my IRA, whatever it is. Here's God, what I need you to do for me. And instead, what we need to be praying for is say, God, you already know what my needs are. You already know my struggles. You already know what I'm going through. And I care about you and I love you. And sometimes I believe that God allows us to go through the dark times because it's when only that you, when God is all you have, is when you begin to understand that God is all you need. I want to lift you up this morning and want to encourage you. In the love of God, know that your Heavenly Father cares about you. He loves you. Know that there's things that we're not going to understand in this lifetime, or at least not today. But we can put our faith and trust in Him, that His ways are higher than our ways. And we could also take comfort that God is with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God's presence is always enough.